Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today we have a very strategic day for us to not only check our emotions, but also to check our hearts in this season where we're hopefully getting rest in the wilderness, being prepared, and finding that peace in the Lord during this season for what's to come. That we can gain the strategies in this season for the next season. And the verse I want to start off with today, and the reason I title it Strategies for Multiplication, is we see in Genesis 30 that not only Jacob was given strategies against Laban, but also before that, his wife Leah, in relationship of determining who's going to spend time with Jacob. And so we look in scripture here, and I want to focus on these two passages, because before that, it's a back and forth between Rachel and Leah, who's going to spend time with Jacob to ultimately be able to produce children. And in this scenario here, we see, starting in verse 16, it says, when Jacob came in from the field in the evening, then Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. God gave heed to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And before that, it was her son came in, had these mandrakes, and Rachel had asked for them. And she says, "Well, are you going to steal these from me like you steal my husband?" And so she had the wisdom to use it as a bargaining tool. And then Jacob, when he had prospered later on in Genesis 30, even under Laban and the difficult scenario that he was in of serving 7 years for one wife, being tricked, serving 7 years for the other, he was then, when it was time for him to leave, given strategies from the Lord to multiply himself so that he could prosper even more. And so I think it's a perfect scriptural example for us to look at in this season of, okay, even though all this craziness, government overreach, high inflation, all this stuff is happening, God can still give us these strategies to multiply in this season, to be prepared for what is coming, what is to come after in the next season, and to provide an inheritance to future generations. And it's really important to look at that this situation right now from that mindset, rather than, "Oh, woe is me, this is happening," the people being fear, living in a place of fear, rather than a place of peace and wisdom, and walking out in that example of being salt and light in the earth. Because you have the example keeps coming up for me is we have a child. People have told us, "Oh, how could you have children?" And I've heard Abraham Hamilton III talk about how he has multiple children. And he goes in the airport and people look at him like, "You're crazy. How dare, how could you do this?" I've heard people at other jobs that I've had say, "Well, they have one child. I can never bring another child into this world. It's so dark. It's so blah, blah, blah." And we as kingdom people can't live that way. We have to be life and light in our everyday walk and be the example of, look, even despite what you think is crazy, I think it's an opportunity with what the Lord said is these babies who are being born out are war babies. Okay, let's produce more. Let's multiply there, as you see even Jacob, Leah, and the rest of Jacob's wives there being able to produce the 12 tribes of Israel, even under contentious circumstances that he was in at that time. So we enter today with that mindset of, you know, coming through the night season of, okay, Lord, you have plans for us to prosper, for us to leave an inheritance to our children's children. What are those strategies? How can we walk those out? And in the season of restfulness, let him just drop those tidbits on you as we ask for strategies from the Lord for multiplication now and in the season ahead as we walk out the consequences of the decisions being made from leaders all around the world. It's not just to say one person is at fault. It's a host of people, and ourselves included, for the situation we put ourselves in. But God can help us get out of those situations. So now I want to dive into the news, give a little update on the Ukraine situation, some new sanctions that are coming down the road on Russia that will continue to increase costs for energy, not only here in America, but around the world, something to pay attention to. And then some decisions being made out of this administration, Pentagon, Congress, and Senate that I think we need to pray for wisdom for on our leaders. And that's what we're here for. So first, the situation in Ukraine is that Russia is now really being deliberate on taking back and taking more authority in the Crimea and Donbas regions of eastern and southeastern Ukraine on the borders there with Russia and in the Black Sea. So we're seeing that increase there as they continue to bomb. And they're using the talks from Zelensky before the UN and calling for sanctions and calling for military bases and all this stuff as a way to degrade the peace talks that have been going on in Istanbul kind of quietly. Sergey Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, said that, look, you're saying all these things and you're putting all these sanctions, you're doing all this stuff, and it's harming our negotiations with Ukraine. Meanwhile, at the same time, he says, we don't agree to anything that Ukraine wants to actually do. It's only way there's going to be peace is if Ukraine gives us what we want. So it's kind of double-edged sword there. I think the truth is coming out. I think Zelensky sees that, and he's like, this is fruitless. And he's positioning, again, for funds from not only the United States, from NATO countries, other NATO countries, EU, because he wants to be able to, and I think rightfully so, to be able to protect his country independent of NATO and the EU and the UN, because they're showing to be feckless and fruitless in front of a dictator such as Putin, who has no qualms about doing what he's doing right now and being defensive and playing the media war battle of, well, that's not really happening. You know, Ukraine staged this. That's not really true. That's not really true. But again, there's satellite images that show 2 weeks ago or a couple weeks ago before Russia came in, and there's video evidence that Russian troops actually did murder those people. So it's interesting to see the truth come out and all that stuff. But we're seeing that there as people flee countries. Russia is just still continuing to bombard. And now we're seeing out of the EU the possibility of banning, again, this is a possibility is being proposed at the EU banning imports on Russian coal, as well as potential oil and gas sanctions. Again, I said yesterday and several weeks ago, Germany has still, they have cut some projects, but at the end of the day, they're still going to keep buying because they need, in the short term, they need to get oil and gas and coal from somewhere, because that's, they're still going to be in winter for another couple weeks. And then even going forward after that, summer, air conditioning and lighting up your house and things like that. So there's, they still need some source of energy. The issue isn't it that just they're getting it from Russia, but they stop getting it from Russia, and that hurts Russia. Okay, and that's their goal. We want to hurt Russia. We want them to stop being able to have funds to continue on this military attack. Number one, other countries are still buying Russian oil and gas and coal in rubles, which ultimately hurts the EU, hurts the US dollar, and helps Russia and China and Iran and United Arab Emirates and all those countries who are friendly to Russia. And now they're going to have to figure out, struggle, and pay higher prices for gas and oil and coal from somewhere else. And that they're not talking about. The logistics of where do we get the resources from? They're talking, okay, let's end it from them, but let's also, where are we getting this stuff from? Where are we getting the new source from? So it's interesting to see this stuff and wisdom for our leaders, EU leaders as well. I know we have some people from around the world listening. Their leaders need wisdom in this season. And then also, I want to tell this story because we mentioned it last Friday about how it would be wise to get your money out of banks that operate internationally, not just because they're operating internationally, but because there's, you don't know what other governments and other foreign investors and other people are going to do to influence such companies to possibly change the structure of the operation of said company. And that doesn't just go with banks. It goes with other countries. I mean, other industries as well. And this story came out this morning, late last night, early this morning, out of Germany, how, and this possibility happening in other sectors, not only in Germany, but around the world as contentious political circumstances arise. And the story is that the German government has taken control of Gazprom's German subsidiary. And Gazprom is a Russian company, but they had a German subsidiary in Germany. And they were trying to sell it and trying to make a financial deal to give it back, the control of the company back to the Russian parent company. Well, the German regulators found out about it, and they sanctioned them and basically took control of the Russian oil company because they want to make sure that whatever oil is being refined and brought into the country, that it's controlled by Germans. And for the sovereignty of Germany, this is it's a tricky line. It's a little bit totalitarian, but I'm in the situation. It's like, okay, this might possibly be a good thing. But the question is what long-term effects does this have? Do they then, let's say in a case like COVID, say, well, rather than voluntarily, you know, doing what the government asks, are they then like what happened in Russia? The government just came over and took over the companies and appointed who they wanted. And that's similar to what's happening here, potentially could be happening here. As the economic minister talked about how they're going to now put the people who they want on the boards, who they control the company. And it's just a warning, I think, to see that, look, if you're operating in this whole global sphere, and especially with your money, we saw what happened in Canada. If you don't do what the governments want, then they're going to prevent you from being able to possibly take out your money. And I think it's just a wise, not prophetic on that. It's just a wise decision to look at moving your money to a place where you could continue accessing it if something were to arise, not only here but internationally. It would just be wise there. And I think this is a scenario of, you never know how it could happen. And I guess this is to say that this one kind of seems like it's the right move for Germany, but it's also a little bit totalitarian in that. And, you know, in times of war, maybe this is the right thing, taking back from Russia. But what's to say the opposite were to happen? And your assets and your money gets blocked up in a company that deals with a foreign actor that the United States government doesn't like, and you can't get access to it. And it's not to say that, you know, innocent people might not be able to avoid it. It's that you don't really know right now with the totalitarian overreaches from governments what possibly could happen. And so it's just a risk assessment that I think we should be aware of and take proper steps to protect ourselves. And that's just a little wisdom tidbit there. Now, there's another story. This one is – I want to point this out because we really need to pray for our leaders on this. Is the Pentagon is now asking and coming forward for a – it sounds like Ukraine, but a military base somewhere in Poland, Ukraine, in Eastern Europe to be implemented so that you can deter Russia from doing what it's doing. We need to pray for wisdom for our leaders on this. Again, this is an ask from the Pentagon. Lloyd Austin made the ask yesterday. And Miley and others have been pushing for this. And if you saw the whole Matt Gaetz questioning and stuff, that's a good thing to deal with for Matt Gaetz. But this is the ask from the Pentagon, and this is what's going to be put pressured on the administration, is this scenario of should we put military forces or have a military base available for if we needed to use it in Poland and somewhere closer to Russia. Now, with that being said, let's, for those who aren't aware, is that Russia does have bases similar to something like this in Nicaragua, where if need be, it's not fully operational yet, but it is there, where if they wanted to launch something from South America, they could easily use the military bases that they have built up in Nicaragua. And I think there's a few other places as well. I know they were starting to talk with Venezuela as well, but I know Nicaragua has been confirmed, and the CIA and Pentagon have become aware of that. So this would kind of be like that for us over there. It would really just be a deterrent more than anything possibly in the future. And supposedly the deal is that these countries will pay for it, probably because we'll give them funding for it. And we won't have to keep troops there supposedly, which we just need to pray for wisdom for our leaders on a host of these issues, because there's a lot going on obviously with Russia, but I want to point this out is because we're focusing on a lot of different things. And there's the big claim and cry for sanctions and arrest and prosecution of Putin and his allies for war crimes that they've committed. And I want to read this quote from, let me bring his name up, James Jeffrey, former U.S. ambassador to Iraq, who gave a talk, an interview on Bloomberg TV's Balance of Power show, which I don't really watch, but this was in an article I was reading. And he said, we have no way in regards to prosecuting Putin and where our focus needs to be. He said, we have no way to bring Putin and his generals to justice. That's the reality. Let's work on first stopping all the military offenses, which I think that's what Zelensky's asking for, help in that area. Number one, getting a ceasefire. That's going to take some time, but I think that's a right assessment. And then ultimately get a permanent settlement to this thing. And that's not impossible. Basically, let's focus on squashing what's happening. And rather than these war crimes and all this stuff, while yes, it's horrible that they're happening, but the reality is, like he's saying, is there's nothing we can really do about it unless you're going to go invade Russia and potentially start World War III. And I don't think anybody really wants to do that. And that's why what the Pentagon's asking for is something we need to pray for wisdom for our leaders. Very, very adamantly, in now and in the days ahead, because you're talking about not being focused on what we need to focus on. We're getting caught up in wasting our time. And that theme seems to be playing out, and we want to pray for strategies of multiplication of where should we be focusing. Is even Jacob in Genesis 30, he could have focused on, well, woe is me. Laban's got me under control. He's not going to let me go. He's got this, that, and the other. And reality is okay, he's doing that. Let me focus on what I need to focus on. And so just like the administration itself with the whole oil situation, rising prices. They know exactly what they need to do, and they're utterly refusing to do it. Canadian officials are asking the Biden administration to open up the Keystone pipeline, to go back to construction, finishing it, because that would help. And this article points that out. So we're seeing this clouded judgment being played out in the days ahead. Now, a few things on the home front, which I think are interesting, is that yesterday it came out that the senators, supposedly with Romney leading it, struck a deal to reallocate $10 billion in unspent COVID funds. And I want to point this out. Mitt Romney said this. He said that the legislation will not cost the American people a single additional dollar due to it being comprised of a dollar-for-dollar offset from spending already passed by Congress. This is the White House talking point. So Mitt Romney, as he's pushing for this, he's said he's going to confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson for SCOTUS is doing that. So we're laying the groundwork of what our leaders are doing here in the United States. And look, he's in for another few years, so he just got reelected. So the people of Utah have a decision to make, and they need to remember this in the days ahead. Now, with that being said, he's pushing this forward. Schumer thinks this is almost done. Well, this is where an area of refocus needs to happen, is the GOP and seven Democrats have basically are fighting an amendment to this because they want, with this $10 billion going towards more research and the potential of preventing and helping the spread of vaccines to prevent the spread of COVID, which there's a whole debate on that of whether we really need to be doing this or not. I think one thing is good that they're fighting this, but why they're fighting this and how they're fighting this, I think, is short-sighted. They're fighting this on the Title 42 ending at the end of May. And you have Democrats like Mark Kelly out of Arizona, Raphael Warnock in Georgia. There are two more who are in vulnerable positions of Senators Catherine Cortez Masto out of Nevada and Maggie Hansen in New Hampshire, or Hassan, excuse me. And so we're seeing this come out that those who are vulnerable are siding with reason on how to vote and what to do with this. But I'm going to state this, is I said it yesterday, you know, there are three AGs, Louisiana, Missouri, I think somewhere, I can't remember exactly, but they're putting up this legal case of hopefully keeping in, you know, Title 42 in place. And while Title 42 is a good strategy, we need to focus on what's actually happening. Is the border is being just mad chaos for this scenario. And we need to pray for our leaders to refocus on what's actually in place, because we have laws in place that the administration and DHS are not upholding, which are Remain in Mexico policy. Because Title 42 would deal with after Remain in Mexico, because they're supposed to stay in Mexico, and then you're supposed to vet them and see where they're coming from, are they legitimate cases, testing them to see. But they're getting into the United States, being put in facilities, and then they're just saying, oh, well, we're overrun, so now we got to send it back. And while I think it's interesting to see this focus on Title 42, I think it's ultimately a lost cause, because if you're on one hand, conservatives and even some Democrats asking for government mandates to be ended, but then here you're saying, well, at the border, there needs to be this government mandate. It's a little bit hypocritical on that front. And they really need to be focusing on what is a battle worth fighting, because you don't want to waste your time. And what's coming out now is that the Border Patrol is saying that cartels are going to control the border when Title 42 is lifted. There's a report yesterday that I read that over the past year and a half, these cartels have been making $1 billion a month for forcing people who are trying to cross the border illegally to pay upwards of $4,000 to $10,000 dollars to get in, and that's if that's even true. Then they're getting in drugs and things of that, and it's amounting to an estimate of $1 billion a month. If that's even halfway accurate, that's astonishing to say the least. And also, a DEA agent or administrator came out and said on ABC News that China is ultimately providing chemicals for fentanyl and basically fake prescription pills that are being sold to cartels and being brought across the border. That's how they're also able to make the money. So there's an issue going on at the border that not only is DHS missing the boat on, the administration, but also congressmen and senators. They're right to say, look, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem. But Title 42 is a lost cause in my eyes. We really need to focus on remaining in Mexico and securing the border. And so we want to repent for this lawlessness from DHS, from the administration and other officials, and intercede for those within the administration, Senate, and congressional leaders to advocate for upholding the laws that are already on the books. If you've been paying attention long enough to us here, is we've gone through about how the Biden administration has ignored subpoenas and rulings from judges that have required them to uphold Remain in Mexico, to even now uphold Title 42, and they're just being lawless in how they're ignoring rulings from judges, as they've done in other scenarios, and nothing's been done about it. So rather than focus on, oh, we need to pass this law, oh, we need to uphold this, oh, we need funding for this, look, their laws, they've done their job properly before. Now they just need to uphold the laws that are already on the books, and we want to pray for that wisdom there. And then last few things of some things that have come out, and something we need to really be aware of is the Supreme Court is hearing a case on abortion pills being sent through the mail, whether that's illegal or not, constitutional, on top of the Mississippi case that they've already heard and will possibly rule on. And this has effects for what's going on in California. If you saw the bill that's going on there, basically infanticide, basically protecting people from being able to murder a child after 6 weeks of it being alive. This case has possible ramifications for this. And then also the same type of bill that's passed in California was passed or is on the books. I can't remember if it's passed or in the books in Maryland as well. So there's a host of issues here, and I'll put links to some of these articles if you want to read it. It's very disturbing. And then with what's happening in Washington, D.C. with the finding of the five bodies, it's gut-wrenching to say the least on all of this. But this case deals with the legalities of the Food and Drug Administration really just ignoring the laws that are already on the books and allowing these pills to be sent out. Yes, 6 weeks sent out via mail and not having a doctor there to be there with. If you're going to do it, at least have it be in a doctor's office when you take the pill, because something could happen. And not have them being sent through the mail. There's potential of abusers hiding the abuse, because that's part of the reason why you need to go into a hospital or a doctor's office or even an abortion clinic to look at whether there's that type of stuff going on. So that's on a disturbing note. But then on a positive note is, and I want to end on these few things, is that Oklahoma has put forward a bill, and hopefully the governor signs it, that would basically prohibit abortions from the start of the pregnancies. And the doctors would be fined upwards of $100,000 to 10 years. I mean, this goes beyond what Mississippi did. Remember, Mississippi's is 15 weeks. This is saying from the basically conception is, you know, you can't have an abortion. And obviously there's the caveat, which most of these bills have is in only for allowing abortion if it saves the life of the mother. And what's interesting about this and why this is important and this goes through is there has been a rise in abortions from girls in Texas leaving Texas and going to Oklahoma, upwards of 800% spike. So this would ultimately force these women to go longer distances to get an abortion, and more than likely and disincentivize them from even getting one and saving the life of a child. And that's the goal of this. And they might flock to Louisiana. Louisiana has a decision to make there as well. So this is a positive note. Hopefully the governor, pray the governor signs this. And then in Ohio, if you saw this, is a bill has been introduced to implement a similar bill of what Florida did, protecting parents' rights for children in the classroom. And then I think this is still only K through third grade. Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, said, I'm going to implement this, but it's going to be K through 12. And we talked about yesterday of third grade's not enough. It needs to go through all the way through high school. And so we're seeing this battle be played out here with what's going on. And this is wise. This is what happens when truth is brought to light. What is actually going on is brought to light. And I want to go back and we want to pray about these Golden Court cases on the jab mandate and pro-life bills going before SCOTUS and the judges, for them to have wisdom or revelation as they rule on these cases, because these cases are starting to pile up, and the importance of what's to come and what's going to be allowed in the days ahead are going to be interpreted by SCOTUS. So we're going to pray for them to have wisdom. And as we see Governor Kristi Noem, Ohio legislature, Oklahoma legislature, Florida legislature, other states stand up for life and liberty in the days ahead, while you have some states just giving in to the abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood, etc., for allowing upwards of 6 weeks, even the Maryland bill is upward of a week of allowing. And if you saw the Project Veritas stuff that's come out and on the videos on this stuff, it's gut-wrenching. Just the numbing of the aspect of life of, oh, well, you didn't make it, and then the baby was born, and then we have up to a week to be protected to abort the baby. It's very, very disturbing. But want to end on this positive note of there are states standing up to get against this stuff, putting bills out there, and there is still the case before the Supreme Court that we pray for protection for them to be able to make a clear choice with the fear of the Lord, and not obviously get persuaded politically. And so we know that Kavanaugh and Roberts are the two swing votes on that case, and more so Kavanaugh, because whatever way he goes, we've had prophetic that Roberts will go as well, because he does not want to be the brunt of the political backlash. And so his hope is Kavanaugh steps up and he can hide in the background. So I end on that. Thank each and every one of you for following along today. I know it was a lot. But we want to pray for that refocus, that strategies for multiplication, a refocus for our leaders to focus on battles that are worth fighting for, number one, but that will be fruitful in the long run. And some of these battles that they're focusing on are fruitless, and wisdom to determine what would be the right decision, as the case in the Pentagon asking for a potential military base in Eastern Europe. So blessings to each and every one of you. Don't forget, we have our Appeal to Heaven noon prayer today. And then we will be back tonight with another healing and deliverance service on all of our platforms. So I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.